The Srimad Bhagavatam calls even a human being in this world as a jantu. The word jantu means creature. Jantur vai bhava etasmin yam yam yonim anum braje tasyam tasyam salabate nirvrittim na virajyate. Bhagavatam says that the jantu, the creature, he moves from one body to another body, taking multiple bodies. But despite the great sufferings offered to him in the material world, he never develops detachment. Even after being kicked in so many different types of bodies, he always struggles hard to somehow or other find some enjoyment in all the bodies. Sometimes we may look at a snail moving from one side of the road to the other side of the road, and somebody may think, what is the use of his existence? He is just struggling. Better he die. But if you ask the snail, sir, would you like to die? He'll say, no. I want to live forever. So, just as the snail appears insignificant, we look like snails for the demigods. Our body is also like a snail's body, struggling to survive in this world. So the word jantu is used. But the jantu becomes a manushya when a living being starts following Manu, the father of mankind. Then he is called as manushya. When one follows the laws of God, then one becomes manushya. So the karma yoga is kept for those who tend to become very greedy to grab the wealth of this world and enjoy it for their own sense of enjoyment. So for them the karma yoga is kept. Use your hands and legs and the wealth that you possess in offering it to Vishnu, by which you can become purified. So they use their body and the karmendriyas and jnanendriyas. They use it. And as they keep doing it, they become a little more detached. And then they come to the platform of jnana yoga. Because the mind also tends to be very frivolous, like an elephant. If you see an elephant in South India, Kerala, Guruvayur and all, you'll find this elephant, when it comes in the street, it has a trunk which is very, very loose, very frivolous. It just goes to shop and picks up a dozen bananas and swallows it. Or whenever it finds some banana tree kept for decoration, it will just put its trunk around it and beat it on the ground and scatter it everywhere. So like that, elephant, having a loose trunk, our mind also is very frivolous in nature. Very frivolous. It tends to always keep thinking about various plans, how I can enjoy in this world. His Holiness Gaur Govind Maharaj says, dhana kapati means one has wealth, but one who does not use the wealth in Lord service. Because of his frivolous mind. Because the frivolous mind squanders all the wealth in varieties of sense gratification without using a single penny for Lord service. Similarly, bala kapati means one has a stout and strong body, but one doesn't want to dance for the Lord's pleasure. He keeps his body, stout body, for himself. So he's called as balakapati. Because the mind is uncooperative. Because the mind has likes and dislikes. And the mind does what it wants to do. Like he says, mano rathena satidavato bahir. Bahir means seeing the external world, the mind runs in its own direction it wants. Like yas shastra vidam utsrujya vartate kamakartha nasasiddhim avapnoti nasukam naparangpati. That's the nature of the mind. Giving up the injunctions of the scriptures, my mind impels us to do what it wants to do. It doesn't want to obey Krishna's instructions. So, the Jnana Yoga teaches one to not allow the mind to go in an uncontrolled way, but to take the mind and use the mind for speculation. What type of speculation? Speculation to realize that we are not matter, but we are spirit. To get that realization. A Jnani, two things. One is meditation on the impersonal truth and studying the Vedanta and the other Vedic scriptures very deeply. That is prescribed for the Jnana Yogis. And as one progresses further in Jnana Yoga, with some meager understanding of the absolute truth, as one progresses further, one comes to the Ashtanga Yoga stage. Patanjali gives the eightfold steps of progress in Ashtanga Yoga. One of the limbs of Ashtanga Yoga is Ishara Pranidhani. Ishara Pranidhani means meditating on the super soul within one's heart. The Ashtanga yogis actually meditate on every limb of the body of Vishnu. They meditate on every spoke of the 1,000 chakras of Lord Vishnu's chakra, Vishnu chakra, Sudarshan chakra. They meditate on every part of his body. Now, what is the difference between Ashtanga yogi and a Bhakti yogi? The Ashtanga yogi, through contemplation, he observes the anarthas in his mind, like a silent witness, observer. He observes, yes, there is an anartha. And then through observation and contemplation, he tries to safeguard himself from becoming attacked by those anarthas. Exactly like a man keeps an animal under captivation. When animal is kept under captivation, just like a lion or a tiger is tied with a rope to a pole, and you have to keep watching. Any time the animal may attack me. But you little bit, you doze, immediately the animal may give a big slap with his paw and cut off the rope and run into the forest. It may even kill the master. Similarly, the yogis keep the senses under control, like keeping animal under captivation. At the same time, they have to, with intelligence, they have to observe the anarthas and rise above them. And they have to meditate on Vishnu. So while the yogis meditate on Vishnu, the bhaktas, they meditate on the deity form in the temple. And one very essential difference between a yogi and a bhakta is, a bhakta understands that the path of bhakti yoga is a path of grace. It's not a path of personal endeavor or austerities or personal prowess. It's a path of grace. And in fact, the path of bhakti yoga, one learns how to become an expert beggar. How to become an expert beggar, to beg for the mercy, blessings and guidance of Krishna and his devotees by surrendering to them, by pleading them, by hankering for mercy. So that is the main difference between the Buddha Yoga, between the Ashtanga Yoga and Bhakti Yoga. We'll find that when a devotee realizes that on my own endeavor, I am too small to get rid of this world and rise above. So I need the help of the Lord. This feeling should come in the heart of a bhakti yogi. So the karma yogi engages the body, jnana yogi engages the mind, ashtanga yogi engages the intelligence, bhakti yogi engages the soul itself in Krishna's service. That is why we say, we chant this verse, Kayena vacha, manasendriyairva, buddhyatmanavat, pagrite svabhavat, karomi yadyat sakalam parasmai, narayana yati samarpayami. So, when a devotee surrenders his body, mind and soul in the Lord's service and begs for help, then the Lord is ready to offer help immediately. There is a pastime in Mahabharata, after the war was over and the Pandavas emerged victorious, and they all became the kings of the whole world. One day Krishna came to see them in Hastinapura palace. And Draupadi asked him, my dear Lord, you are called as Apad Bandava. Apad Bandava means one who is a protector of the devotees in dangers. You are called as Anatha Rakshaka. Anatha Rakshaka means one who is the protector of the orphans. And in this way, you are called as a Bhakta Vatsala. You are called as the one who loves his devotees and is very fond of his devotees. But why is it that when I was in such a great traumatic situation of being disrobed in the public, in the Asat Sabha of Duryodhana, you never came to help me? What was the reason? So Krishna told her, think about that particular day. Again, he said, when you were brought to the court with your disheveled hair, and put in the public hall, first thing you did was to look at your husbands, five of them. They were all mighty warriors like lions. You were looking at one by one each of them. They all had their heads hung down. None of them were coming for help. And when you knew that they won't help you, then you looked at the grand sire, Bhishma Pitamah, because he's also a very chivalrous warrior. You were turning to him. And then when you found that none of the Kshatriyas, despite having the potency and power to protect her, were willing to protect, then you sought the nobility of the Brahmana, Dronacharya. Then your mind was feeling that, at least, oh, Brahmana, you are noble, you know the scriptures. Can you allow a woman to be disturbed in the public like this? Will your dharma allow it? So you're looking at the Brahmana. And Drona's head was also down. And he couldn't help. And then in this way, after turning to your husbands and Bhishma and Drona, when no, then you also tried to turn to Dhritarashtra. Nobody helped you. Then you decided that you will help yourself. You know, when the sari was being pulled, you held it with your hands, then with your teeth. And then when you were in a situation when no one could help you, you raised your arms, you threw up in the air and you surrendered to me. And that was the time when you totally surrendered to me and I appeared there as unlimited sari, he said. So this pastime is very much emphasized in the Bhakti Yoga. Why? Because Bhakti Yoga involves such type of surrender. If one feels, I am potent, I am powerful, I am great, and I don't need anyone's help, I am a master. I can. Some people say, I have mastered my chanting. We can never master chanting. If somebody has gained mastery over chanting, they are the best beggars. The best beggars are the best masters in chanting. That is why in that song we hear, Eka ki amar nahi payabala harinama sankirtane. Tumi kripa kori shraddha bindu diya deha krishna namadhane. He is praying, Eka ki amar, my dear master, because I am alone, I have no ability to chant the holy name. Nahi payabal. I may have a physical bal, I may go to gym and build up a very nice biceps to show to opposite sex and attract them. Although I may have physical strength, I may have intellectual prowess to twist my brain and speak in complex ways, but I don't have the bal to chant the holy name. Although I may have the other powers, I may have financial power, I may have political power, I may have physical power and all those powers, but I don't have power to chant the holy name. That's why he says, Nahi payabal. Harinama Sankirtane. And he says, Tumi Kripa Kori, you be merciful on me. Shraddha Bindu Diya. Give me a drop of Shraddha, the faith that you have in chanting the holy name. Shraddha Bindu Diya, Deha Krishna Namadhane. So Namadhan is wealth of the holy name. Give me charity of the wealth of the holy name. Similarly, in another song he also sings, Sakale sammana korite shakati dehonata yata yatha tabe to gaivo harinama suke aparadha behata. He's singing, my dear spiritual master, please give me the strength to for me to respect all the Vaishnavas. Sakale sammana korite shakati. Give me that shakti by which I will not offend Vaishnavas, I will not blaspheme Vaishnavas, I will not find fault with Vaishnavas. Rather, I will respect one and all. Amanina manadena. I will not expect any respect or prestige from anyone, but I will respect each and every Vaishnava, from the neophyte Vaishnava up to the crest jewel amongst all Vaishnavas, the Mahabhagavatas. I will respect all the Vaishnavas. Sakale sammana korite shakati. Why I am begging you for that strength? Because if I get that strength to respect everyone, then he says, Tabe to gaibo, then only I'll be able to sing the holy name without committing any offenses. Tabe to gaibo, harinama sukhe. I can get the sukha of chanting the harinama. I can develop the taste for chanting the holy name. And I can get the, strength for chanting the holy name. And the taste to sustain it. Because initially we need the bal to chant the holy name, to call out the holy name. And after we keep on calling out with the spiritual strength, then we start developing ruchi. When I get the taste, then the taste will be so compelling that I will never be able to stop chanting. Just like Nimai Pandit, after he took Diksha from Ishwarpuri, he came back and said, Kiva Mantra Diya, what mantra you gave me, my dear master? By chanting with Japite Japite, Korela Pagal, he said. By chanting this mantra, I have become Pagal. Practically mad in chanting. The tears coming from my eyes, hair is standing on end. I am thinking of Krishna constantly. Everyone is calling me a fool. So what do you have got to say? And the Guru said, Sabash, well done, my child. He said, this is the symptom, this is the lakshana of a devotee. Now that you have achieved the lakshanas of devotee, go on chanting in the same manner, become more and more mad in Krishna's love. Well done. This is the perfection of your life, he said. Tabeto gaibo harinama suke aparada habehat. All offenses will cease to exist, and I will develop the strength to chant the holy name and the taste to sustain it. In this way, I can go on chanting the holy name. So this is the process of bhakti yoga. Bhakti yoga means seeking the grace, seeking help from Guru, Krishna and Vaishnavas, and by which one can develop a very strong eagerness for chanting the holy name. In this way, beginning from karma yoga up to bhakti yoga, one gradually ascends in the ladder. So, just as a jnani is supposed to study Vedanta and do speculation to fix his mind on the absolute truth, impersonal absolute truth, similarly we have a very great demand put in front of us. What is it? To develop the right consciousness while chanting the holy name, which is more difficult than simply engaging the hand and legs. So we have to engage the, we have to develop the right attitude in approaching the holy name. This path will be a path of grace. So even though we may not feel, if we recite the glories of the holy name, like Bhumos Kalita Padanam, Bhumireva, Valambanam, Namajata Paradanam, Tameva Sharanam Prabhu, just like a child, while a toddler child walking on the ground, he slips and falls on the ground, he cries. Then how will he get up? He will take the aid of the ground only to get up again. Similarly, my dear Lord, I am chanting the holy name, I am not concentrating, my mind is wandering everywhere, I am feeling drowsy, I am committing offenses. Then how can I chant the holy name properly? I have to again chant the holy name only. Again, I have to take the support of the holy name only. Where else will I go? I have nowhere else to go. So please don't neglect me, don't ignore me. Aha Prabhu Nanda Sutta, Vrishabhana Sutta Yuta, Karuna Korahai Baro. Nataliho Rangapoi, what is that? Narottama Dasa Koi. Where will I go without taking your shelter? Please, offer me your shelter. If you reject me, then I will die. I have nowhere else to go. Please, give me the shelter of your holy name and allow me to call your holy name fervently, with fervent devotion. So we have to keep on offering these prayers every day and trying to improve the quality of our consciousness while chanting the holy name. Harinam Prabhu ki.